for a retail investor, right now is really exciting because we have traded flat. We are trading at half the valuation of our peers. If you look at us from an enterprise value, we're trading at $35 million enterprise value for a company that's worth over $105 million market cap. It's pretty incredible. And at the same time, if you look at US dollar per ounces, we're trading at less than half the value of our peers there. We're trading at $29 an ounce versus $72 an ounce.
The Financial Survival Network. Now more than ever. The Financial Survival Network.
Welcome. I'm Kerry Lutz, your host of Financial Survival Network. We are here for a sponsor update with Fury Gold Mines Chairman Ivan Bebek, CEO Tim Clark. Gentlemen, welcome. Let's talk about where the company's at right now. You got lots of cash and securities and waiting drill results, which is always frustrating. But Ivan, great to see you. What's the latest?
Well, I'll turn it over to Tim here. Tim's been really busy with getting this company off for the start of the year here, and it's in phenomenal shape. But Tim, why don't you take us through what's coming and what to look forward to the next 6 months?
Well, look, Ivan, we spent 9 months doing a lot of the heavy lifting, kind of getting the company reorganized. And effectively, we're in a great spot. Drill results should be coming in the next week or two. So we're pretty excited. We're drilling out at Eclair. We've got four holes into the eastern extension, where we're right next to a panel that's 204,000 ounces at 11.8 grams. So we're trying to shore up what's next door. And then we've already moved over to the hinge, which we've talked about for quite some time on the western side. And we're going to put three to four holes in there. And that's where the geologists have want to be after about last year and a half of looking at the geometry of the Eclair site. We're still learning, but we're shoring up the resource in some spots. But what we really want to do is show that this gets bigger. And so we're taking some step outs in the northern limb and over on the hinge. And I think it's going to be a fun-filled summer. At the same time, we're also going to be starting drilling out in Percival. Percival is the property 14 kilometers to the east. There was historic drilling there that we believe they missed what we think is the primary target going down plunge to the west. There's also a second fold of 500 meters to the east, and our goal is to poke in there and find out what kind of opportunity we have. We're trying to decide which one we like better, and it's a big debate. It's kind of exciting to watch, and we're all eager to get the assay results back. And I would have loved to have had some today, but I think the good news for investors is, you know, you don't make money buying at the top after results come out. You buy it now when the stock has been down and flat for a while. We've had a big turn in terms of our financial support. We've got $56 million in securities with Dolly Varden Silver right now, and we'll be able to trade on that next February. But we also raised a bunch of money this spring. We raised $11 million in a private equity with two partners that have wanted to come into the story. One's a very senior producer in Canada, and the other is a very large U.S. institutional mutual fund company. They're here for the long term, and they're going to back us up and partner with us going forward. So from an investor point of view, we're really well situated, and we've got drill results coming between probably the next week and the end of the year.
Hey, so Tim, you're in the financial sector. You've been there your whole life. I mean, we've got a disconnect between metals prices and share prices. What is it going to take to drive Fury's price as well as the junior market here?
Look, that's a really good question. I think that everybody's been sort of sitting here waiting for someone else to go first. Most people and most investors, even the big guys, would rather buy in after the stocks move 10 or 20% than try and sit here and float with money that hasn't moved. What the good news here for Fury is the two things that will move it are drill results and gold price. I think we're really poised on both of them. You don't know what you have until you actually drill it. That's the whole excitement and potential upside with drilling. But we've got some great targets coming out that we feel very confident about. We've also got multiple levers in order to have the company do well. We've talked about the Dolly Varden potential if that ever gets sold to Hecla. Heckle is in a great position to watch what's going on. And they've had, we have two seats on the board and they have one, and we're pushing for them to do more exploration, which is that what they want to see. We also have the joint venture with Newmont and Azimut. We're excited to be drilling up in that 5.5 kilometer anomaly by year end. And we've obviously got the drill results coming out from Eclair and Perceval. So, you know, with that in mind, you know, that's what's going to drive the company. We can add value to shareholders without gold price, but certainly having gold price go up or precious metals is going to help the sector as a whole. I think we're really poised for this back half of the year. Inflation is going to be very tough for the Fed to control. I've actually sat down with David Rosenberg, who's an old colleague of mine and a very well-respected economist and strategist in Canada. For the first time, he's called for gold to be going up sort of midsummer, back half of the year. I've never heard those words out of his mouth in 20 years, and I have a lot of confidence in David. And I think as a company, the leverage you're going to get with a junior exploration is so much better than the mid-cap and the seniors, but you just have to wait a little bit longer as it comes downstream. I know institutional investors started buying into the junior space back in March when the stock started and the gold price started to rip. They put things on pause to see what was going to happen, and they're all sitting there waiting, and they're interested in looking at ideas. And I can categorically tell you that because I've sat in the meetings with them. And these are people that I've known for decades, and they're not shy about it. But they're just waiting and timing it. And I think for a retail investor, right now is really exciting because we have traded flat. We are trading at half the valuation of our peers. If you look at us from an enterprise value, we're trading at $35 million enterprise value for a company that's worth over $105 million market cap. It's pretty incredible. And at the same time, if you look at U.S. dollar per ounces, we're trading at less than half the value of our peers there. We're trading at $29 an ounce versus $72 an ounce. You can look that up at Beacon Securities. That's how they measure us. So from that point of view, I bought this spring on the back of big investors. I put a big position on. I'm going to be buying more stock near term as well.
Yeah. So Ivan, addressing that disparity between Fury, $29 an ounce, peer group, $72 an ounce. I mean, that's kind of surprising, isn't it?
Well, you know what? It is and it isn't. You know, if anyone's been a resource investor in the last 18 months, it's been awful. The sentiment's just been so vacuumed out of the space. And the good sign there is that you generally see that before a major move to the upside. So, you know, we started with a different CEO last year, and that obviously didn't work out. But we have somebody in charge here now with Tim Clark that's got a very strong capital markets background. He's already demonstrated he can bring marquee investors into the name, you know, and this we'll talk about in a moment, you know, pushing my retirement here a little at this stage before I get busier with Copernico. But this is what I've been looking for on Fury, was somebody that could take the reins and really drive it forward. And the biggest synergy that Tim and I have is we both care about the share price the same amount. Outside of being, you know, largest shareholder of the company in terms of management and the board, you know, there's a certain level of commitment there that doesn't need a title beside it. It's I'm invested, and then my family as well. But I'm very comfortable and I'm very excited with Tim's approach, and he's already demonstrating that it's well on his track. I think we close the gap in the next turn up in the market. I don't think you can do much between now and then, except for accumulate at these very low, deep value prices. You know, that the case Tim makes is extremely strong. And it really comes down to drill results. You know, my prediction, you know, to go out there on the gold price, which I hate to do, but I'm going to do it here today, is that we're north of $2,000 gold before year end. And, you know, I'm speculating on some pretty substantial results out of Quebec. Originally, Eau Claire was looked at as incremental value to be added, but things like Perceval, the Hinge, can really open it up. And I'm holding my breath a bit for Perceval. I do love the Hinge and the Limb. There's some targets that are coming into fruition that I wasn't aware of before. But Perceval really is something new away from the deposit that's barely been touched. And, you know, I think the year ahead is drill results continuously for probably 12 months straight or longer, depending how things go with the market. And that to me is bigger than anybody in this company. is what can you deliver with the drill bit and a rising gold market? So, you know, my position, I feel that gap is going to close. I feel Tim's doing all the right things. He's got the same work ethic with the market, and he's got new relationships, which are going to really benefit the Fury shareholder base. You know, a lot of people look to the same name and they can only buy it so many times, but Tim's bringing in a whole different caliber of investors, a little bit upstream into the institutional, and that's what Fury really needs. So for me, I'm very proud of what Fury's become, you know, as a former founder of the company and getting it this far. You know, my commitment doesn't change, just my title changes to give me a little bit more time and space on Copernico, which I plan to bring to market later this year. But as far as company goes, it could not be in a stronger position from a cash perspective, marketable security perspective, and I can't wait to see what the results are the rest of the year.
One thing, I was talking with Gwen Preston recently, and I think the sector here suffers from a lack of speed of gaining the attention. Now, we're a little older than the new crop of investors coming in. They're looking at NFTs. They're looking at cryptocurrencies, which haven't done that well as of late. But capturing their attention and their interest is really crucial to the future of the sector. Do you think they're going to get it soon? Or what's it going to take for them to start watching the sector and investing?
I think they are. You know, one sector that no one's talking about that's come off egregiously is real estate. No one's running out to buy real estate right now. People are concerned about selling it. Interest rates are on the rise here. To Tim's point, inflation, you know, in the fourth quarter, once we see a few quarters of this come out, it's going to be spectacular. Look at oil prices. Those are going up every day. Inflation is going to get worse, not better. As much as everyone likes to think we have it under control, we don't. And then copper prices, inflation in that market. There's inflation coming at us from all sides. That always points to a good gold market. Now, cryptocurrency is interesting. I think long-term, there's a big market for crypto. I don't disagree, but this feels a lot like the dot-com kind of first wave of a new technology. And I don't think people are racing to crypto like they did before, because the volatility in crypto, even in Bitcoin, is scaring a lot of people. And as much as you want to predict what might happen in Bitcoin, it's only been around for a very short period of time. Whereas hard assets, what's the next hard asset to go after? Everyone knows it's metals. We're running out of most of the base metals, like period. And gold, there's a production cliff looming, and it's a lot harder to find than it's ever been before. So I think from that, if I could predict the timing of when it's going to turn, Kerry, you'd be reading about me, not talking to me right now. And I will say, though, a last point here, and I'll hand it over to Tim. I'm sure he has some comments. I'm a visionary, and I'm already sitting in next February's market. And so I'm way ahead of the curve, and I'm in a really good mood. And my portfolio is doing extremely well in the first quarter of next year. You know, I think once we're past midterms, we get through a few more cycles to point out inflation is real. I think the flock to hard assets like metals is going to be substantial. And the last point there is, it's like a light switch, the gold market, the most emotional metal you can invest into. It flips on in a day, and all of a sudden, this cheap, easy to buy stock is the hardest thing to buy on the board, and it starts gapping. That market will surprise all of us. I think it happens in the fourth quarter. Hopefully we have some tremendous results at a Fury before that happens.
I would just add in there, Kerry, it's surprising how many levers we have right now, not just on our company side, but you know, there's so much pressure out there globally, especially on the currencies. And we've had gold for 2,000 years. It's not going away tomorrow. In fact, it's going to become more important with a lot of the geopolitical issues out there. And when you look at the gold price, historically, when it does pop, you see a lot of consolidation. We haven't had that. We've had a few of the big names, and Yamana was a recent one this past week or so, but it's pending. And I'm going to reiterate, you know, when I was down at the Bank of Montreal conference in Miami, companies were down there looking to see each other more than they were investors, because this is when you buy assets at a cheap value. And I reiterate this all the time, but you know, you don't gain real wealth buying at the top. You buy it at the bottom. You don't, in anything that you do, you got to be an early adopter and have confidence in what you see the world looking like a year or 2 years down the road. And everybody's just worried about tomorrow right now in the summer. And it just doesn't make sense that the gold price is not going to go. If you've ever believed in the gold price, it's now. And if you believe that there's a bull market coming, I love the idea of Barrick and Newmont buying those names. They're big, bulky, but you're just not going to get any real torque with them. You're going to need to go downstream. And it's when it hits into the junior exploration space where there's not a lot of liquidity. I'm getting institutional investors invested in this stuff. You got to start noticing what we're doing. And these guys are been out there for decades looking at stocks that we provide. This is a very good name and really smart people are looking at it. It's worth your time to take a position because you're going to be disappointed when it rips.
That and drill results are going to be plentiful. I mean, that's really the trick here to change all the stock and ignoring the gold market. You can perform incredibly well with great results. So those start coming in a week or two and they're continuous through the rest of the year into next year. That's a substantial statement for Fury today. We've gone from a long lingering period of no results and no drilling. Now we're drilling and results are starting. And then that's where we're going to win as shareholders, whether the gold price or market picks up or not.
We're just right where we want to be.
And that's a good place. And Ivan, so you're going to basically... You announced your retirement plans, and Tim's going to be running the company. Life's all about change. This is a big one for you and for Fury.
Well, you know what? I was on the board of Torque, and I stepped off there because of my workload, and I've stepped off here as well. And what the market or people who are not in the industry don't realize is that when you're as active as Fury has been and is going to be, the amount of formalities involvement is quite heavy. I was in a board meeting almost every 10 days, across the four companies I was on the boards of. So lightening the load a bit gives me a little bit more flexibility. And with Fury, again, it's in a strong position. There's no doubt. And I have the utmost confidence in Tim, but Tim and I speak daily and I'll be a senior advisor to the company on the advisory board. And, anything that I can do to make Fury really perform well, it's most certainly going to be shared with Tim and the team. My commitment doesn't change by my role. Just now I can actually, work 14 instead of 18 hours a day, with the other companies that I'm formally involved in.
Well, I listen, the board asked me about Ivan stepping off and 100% we're good to go on the day-to-day stuff. But I think people are going to be fooled to thinking Ivan's really stepping away because we talk all the time. We share a lot of opinions about different things. We've become great friends and that's not going away.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for that update. And change is inevitable. And there's only so much that one person can do. And then it's time to move on. And definitely a positive, as witnessed by the investor, the major investors' commitment to the company, as well as two major mining companies that are shareholders in the company. So good things ahead. In any event, go over to furygoldmines.com, sign up so you can get the latest notifications. The ticker symbol, real simple in the U.S. and Canada, is Fury, F-U-R-Y. Gentlemen, thanks for checking in. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Financial Survival Network.